And now, it's time for Miss WeedWiki Speaks.
Listening to Miss WeedWiki, and I'm here today with my guest, Anisha, who is owner of the cannabis brand Haiku Co., a vegan, gluten-free lifestyle company offering everything from edibles to topicals and sensual oils. So welcome to our show, and thank you for speaking with me today. Could you tell our listeners where you're joining us from, Anisha?
Thank you for having me. I'm joining you guys from Edmonton, Alberta today.
How cold is it out there?
It's like a blizzard outside currently. I'm like literally looking outside. It's a blizzard. It's minus 20 today. So not too much fun.
Not
I guess I'm staying at home.
I bet you really need some good weed at this time of the year to keep.
Definitely. Some Jack Herr would be perfect right now, or some White Widow.
You're speaking some of my love language right there. So thanks so much for joining me. My listeners and I would love to know more about your cannabis journey. Can you tell us where it all started for you?
Okay. So I actually started smoking weed when I was 12 years old. I know, not the best age. It was with my cousin though. I got caught smoking when I was 14 by my mom.
Okay. And how did she feel?
Told me. She was actually pretty chill. My dad had MS and he used to medicate with cannabis. So she didn't take part in it, but she did know that there were benefits to it and healing properties to it. So the first thing she said to me was, if you're going to smoke, you smoke it under my roof, or you go to your uncle's house and you smoke with your cousins. You don't go and smoke with your friends. She's like, you just don't know where they're getting it from or who they're getting it from. So if you want anything, you can go to your uncles and get it from them. And at that time I was like, I don't want your old people weed. Little did I know they had the best ever. But, that was my journey. And, I am a bookworm. So my brother used to tell me, if you smoke weed, you don't smoke weed to get high. You smoke weed to meditate. So I kind of kept that practice on, and it continues on to this day.
So you're very intentional about your cannabis use then.
Yes. Yes. I don't want to just get up and like smoke the spliff for the day and start my day and wake and bake and do this and that. And I don't like the whole stereotype behind it either. I smoke weed to deal with my anxiety, with my stress, to communicate better, to have this conversation. I feel like cannabis is really, it's an important part of my lifestyle. And yeah, I don't want to take advantage of that at all.
No, and I can respect that. I definitely find my journey with some guests that approach it with a more holistic approach definitely use the same type of methodology you do with intention when they're
yes.
using cannabis. So I'm definitely seeing more and more of that. Definitely.
Well, it's good. I don't think you just need to like when I was in Toronto growing up, I remember days we were just like, have two packs of backwoods and just sit, smoke back to back. But then I realized you can only get so high. You can't get higher than high. So what is the point of wasting my money and smoking this ounce in a day? So
right?
It just didn't make sense. Nothing was adding up to me.
Right. So you're living in Edmonton now. What's the cannabis scene like there?
The cannabis scene is huge over here. And I honestly don't think I would have started Haiku unless I moved out here. It's a huge market. There's a huge female market in general over here, which is quite different than Toronto's market of cannabis, or at least that's what I found, you know, at the time. And, I feel like there's a lot of opportunities over here, especially with how good the cannabis is. Right now, Alberta is doing a lot better than BC. Like our buds are doing a lot better than BC, which I have no idea why. Like since legalization, it's so much better to have like local than to get anywhere else.
Okay.
I think it's amazing.
It really sounds good because I've never heard any
for sure.
Yeah. No, I've never heard anyone describe it as a huge female market. So can you tell me like, Tell our listeners, what does that look like? Does that mean like these are female-owned stores, dispensaries?
Okay, so when I first came out here, my first event I actually attended was a high tea hosted by Natalia Child, and she is just amazing. Her Insta handle is High Vibes, High Tea Vibes, and she does these yearly parties or twice a year parties where it's kind of a big deal. It's literally like a high tea. You have your little cute sandwiches. We have all these can of cups provided by Fashion Be High, which are amazing if you've checked them out. And it's only females. She doesn't label it as a female party. However, it's just females that attend. So going to that event and seeing tons of female smokers, that just blew my mind. Mind you, I was the token there, but I didn't necessarily mind just because at that time I found it very inviting. It was a very inviting community to go into. It wasn't intimidating because you don't have all these guys around. So it was a really comfortable scene. And now we're seeing a lot of dispensaries owned by females here. A lot of them are not from here, but the fact that they're getting the opportunity to open up dispensaries here is cool. It's nice to see.
Yeah, I've heard that Alberta has like a lesser there's further reduced barriers of entry compared to, say, Ontario to get into the dispensary retail market.
I don't know about that with what I've seen.
Okay.
I'm not sure how they're actually calculating that in general to see who gets approved and who doesn't.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure that out right now. And I've actually worked for AGLC myself in payroll. So the fact that there is a disconnect there with even within AGLC, it's kind of concerning for me. Like, it's so gray. The areas are so gray. Nothing is really direct.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gets a lot of people in trouble too.
Right. So there's not a lot of like consistent communication, it sounds like, between them and the applicant public, basically.
Basically, yes. AGLC is Alberta Government Liquor License Company. And so basically they handle all of the liquor and cannabis markets within Alberta. But yes, there's a huge lack of communication, and that's just not between AGLC. I just think Alberta itself, there's a huge communication between government and employers and employees. The breakdown is a little bit ridiculous compared to Ontario's breakdown.
Okay. So then so it doesn't sound like the barriers are less necessarily than here either.
No, I'm not sure about Ontario's own, but you know what? I'm dying to come back home and see what it's like. and you know, who knows? Who knows what the opportunity may be then?
So what do you think Alberta, you know, the policymakers in Alberta should be doing to reduce the barriers for the BIPOC community members who want to get in the cannabis industry there? What can they do to make it easier?
Well, communication is key. At this point, we really do not know what to do. So any sort of communication and honest communication, that is another thing. You could be told one thing from one person in the government. Let's say if I went to the government office on the south side, if I go to a government office on the north side, they can tell me something completely different. So they're not talking, and then it just kind of trickles down to every other one, every other system underneath that. So it's pretty difficult. And right now it's not there. Like in Ontario, there's clause to protect employees, where out here, it's not the employee that matters. It's the employer. So all the clause protect the employer, and there's nothing there to protect employees. So there's a huge disconnect between government and the social communities.
So are you saying then that the employees are not protected by the same HR or workmen, like health
no.
and safety laws that would govern every other sector in Alberta? They don't have the same type of?
No. Again, I come from payroll. Working out here in payroll or accounting is completely different, like from what I've seen in Ontario. It's actually scary because I ended up going on EI for a little bit because of one of my employers and due to stress leave. But I wasn't protected at all, even though I was the head payroll person for the entire Rogers place. But the employer gets all the protection. So everything goes back to HR.
Yeah.
HR is completely protected, but nobody underneath HR is protected, which is quite upsetting. I've seen a lot of employees suffer because of this. Employees do not have a word out here. They do not have a say. It's quite sad. Workers' comp does not protect you out here.
Do you see any potential for like a unionized environment rising in Alberta for cannabis employees then?
I would love to see it. I do not see it right now. It would be really nice to see it, especially because of the cannabis market that we have and because of the growing method that we have here. As I said, Alberta's cannabis market has boomed since legalization. And we have such great growing methods over here that the rest of the world definitely needs to see. Because right now, I feel like we surpass BC in all cannabis. It's superior. And I'm not just saying that because I live here. I lived in BC when I was 21. Like, I love BC, bud. But right now, Alberta is killing the game. So the fact that we have all these blockage, it's kind of brutal because we should be on top right now. We should be letting more people in and shedding this light throughout the rest of Canada.
I agree. Now with your business, Haiku Co, you service customers across the country, right?
Correct.
Do you notice any interesting buying trends, province or region to region?
Okay, so in Ontario, most of our customers really just like flower, not so much edibles. They're all in their flowers. Okay. They are now getting into a lot of like the body products. So, the rubs, the topicals, the bath fizz, which is great. BC is very sexual, very edible. Okay. They're kind of like free-minded. They really want a variety of everything. And I feel like Alberta's similar to that. Manitoba's strictly edibles. They don't want anything else. Don't talk to them about anything else. But yeah, I feel like those are like the four main that I send to. Oh, Nova Scotia is very
much. I was going to say, what about the Maritimes?
Yeah, they love their edibles. They love their juices and teas. So that's quite fun because I know they experiment a lot over there too with their teas, with the growing methods and stuff too. So it's pretty fun over there. But yeah, I feel like Ontario is the one that doesn't care for edibles as much as the rest of Canada.
Interesting. Look at that, eh? And do you think that's going to change?
I mean, I hope and I feel like it is. I feel like in Ontario, especially back in the day, all we can get were gummies. And I know me, I don't eat pork. So getting edibles when I was younger, it wasn't a thing. I didn't have that option of having anything else but something with pork in it. So I just stayed away from it. But the fact that we are vegan and gluten-free, it kind of opens up the doors for more people to try it, right? Every race and religion.
Right. You know? But I guess it comes down to marketing to them as well and getting in their faces.
Yes. And that knowledge is power, right? So if you get people that are willing to listen, then you got to spread that knowledge as much as you can.
Absolutely. What would you say is your best-selling item?
Our best-selling item is our truffles. They are very rich and decadent. Nothing compares unless you have like those old school truffles that are coated in the dark cocoa and everything like that. And our juices and teas are our drinks. Very popular, especially amongst everybody. I can't even like label that. It's very, very popular.
Okay.
Thankfully, I'm getting a lot of people to try it, a lot of older people to try it because you kind of can mix it within anything, right? Especially if you have a tea or any kind of our juices. All of our juices are half coconut water, the fresh pressed juices. Yeah, so it's quite fun. And I get to experiment this way, especially with the teas. I get to kind of make my own teas right now. I have some chocolate mint curing. So that will be fun for Valentine's Day.
That sounds like it. It definitely does. Now, which of your products would you say is your unsung hero? The one that's your personal favorite that you wish got more shine?
Our Revival Elixir. So that is our topical line. The people that know live by it, and the people that don't know definitely need to know about it. Because, so we have different kinds. We have an arthritis, osteoarthritis rub. We have a muscle and joint pain. We have a cramps be gone, which is great for cramps. Eczema, psoriasis, especially being out here in Alberta, where it's very, very dry, and I don't even understand my skin texture or my hair texture anymore. So those body products are literally to die for. I literally use them every day. I live by them. And as I said, everyone who knows about them lives by them as well. And whoever doesn't, they definitely need to try it out.
It definitely sounds like it. So thanks for sharing that with us. What would you say is coming next for Haiku Co in the next year?
In the next year, hopefully, just getting right on the legal market, just getting my foot in the door and on the right step. I would love to have a storefront of some sort, not necessarily dispensary, but somewhere, a cannabis community, kind of like a rec center, a place where people are able to learn, a place where people are able to even make their own edibles, and shine the light through all the arts. I feel like cannabis connects the whole art community. So I want to have like performers in there. I want to have singers and rappers and spoken word and like graffiti and like paint night, you know, but create a safe space, because we definitely need that. And I would love to do that.
I would too. And I'd love to see it. So I'm going to keep my eye out for that. Please keep me in the loop. Now here's a question I'd like to ask my guests. If someone was to gift you with an ounce of the finest weed, what cultivar would you want and what would you do with it? Set the scene for us.
Okay, sorry. So what would I do with it, and what was the other question?
Like what cultivar is your absolute favorite cultivar if somebody wanted to give it to you as a gift, and what would you do with it?
Okay. So as I said before, the White Widow. Love me some White Widow. And if not White Widow, even White Rhino, which is a great mix of White Widow and North American sativa. And honestly, I would never turn them into anything else but smoking it. Like I can't, I feel like it's like sacrilege. Like if you do something else with it, like why would I use it on an edible?
Right.
I mean, we definitely have good strains for edibles, but just because like I haven't come across like a good White Rhino in a long time or a good White Widow in a really long time. Just give me an ounce of that. I would love to have like a couple packs of Backwoods and have a few sessions by myself and like meditate with it. Thank the gods that I got it again.
Sounds good to me, sis. I love your imagination. So I'm with it. Could you tell our listeners?
I'm kind of old school like that.
That's a classic move for sure. Could you tell our listeners one more time, Anisha, where they could find you on social media?
Yeah, you can find us on Instagram at levels.of_ambrosia. So levels.of_ambrosia. And you can find us on TikTok or Twitter under haiku.co.
Love it. How are you loving TikTok?
It's really hard. I'm not a TikToker. I've come to the conclusion I'm not a TikToker. I heard it's really good for business purposes. So I'm really trying to be on it. However, time management isn't my best right now, especially coming back. Yesterday was my first day back. So coming back into it, it's just trying to find time management in order to get onto social media and deal with TikTok. I feel like social media can be very draining. Right. As well as time consuming, right? It's an energy exchange, I feel. So with dealing with social media, you definitely need to set in some different times for yourself, and because you'll get drained really easily.
Right. Well, it's been a great pleasure getting to know you today. I'm really glad you got to join us. So thank you for sharing your journey and all the details about Haiku Co. It's been a pleasure hosting you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being on your show today and this interview to shine light on Haiku. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, sis, and stay lifted.
You as well. Have a good one.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Miss Weed Wiki podcast, and we thank you for your support.